Now tell us about her Beginning with Books project.
Do you want to ask me questions or should I just launch?
Well, would you want to give us an overview of what it's all about?
Okay. Beginning with Books is an agency program founded by Betty Siegel and me in 1984. We've been talking about it for years up to that time. Because we wanted to find a way to help families who didn't have the tradition of reading aloud to their children, perhaps hadn't been read to themselves, didn't have access to books or libraries or bookstores, to help them enjoy what we had enjoyed as parents and what we knew was so significant in the development of readers. And research over the last 20-odd years has shown that children who grow up to be competent and enthusiastic readers have nearly always had the experience of being read aloud to from infancy on. Betty and I were both teaching children's literature at Pitt, and we began to be asked to give talks at PTA meetings and to do some training, but we found that the people who came to hear us already knew about how important it was. They loved hearing about the new books, but we weren't reaching the families we wanted to reach. So we put our heads together and came up with this program. Initially, we shared one full-time job. We worked first right here at this table and at Betty's table, putting together the idea with some good help from other people in the field. We were given some very good advice that the way to reach the families we wanted to reach was to go through an agency that was already serving them. And so our first sponsor was the Allegheny County Health Department. And in the first year and a half, supported by a grant from Pennsylvania Humanities Council and another grant from the Pittsburgh Foundation and some free books from Harper Publishing, we distributed 1,000 packets of paperback books through Well Baby clinics run by the county health department. Each packet had, at that time, 4 paperback books and a pamphlet of tips for parents that would encourage them to read to their children, explain why it was important, and give some suggestions about how to do it. And we were able to hire one part-time worker who had experience as a social worker and who would go into the clinics and distribute the packets and talk to the parents, assure them that what they were getting was not going to tie them up with a book club that they couldn't afford, and read to the children if there was time. And the results of a very rough and rudimentary survey that we did, because these parents filled out a questionnaire when they first went, and then when they went back 6 months or more later for a second checkup, or another checkup, they filled out another questionnaire. And those results indicated that the single initiative, which people call a weak intervention, I've just recently heard that term, because it wasn't intensive, that it had, in fact, had quite a dramatic effect.
Yeah.
For some parents, the responses were very moving because the parents filled them in themselves the second time, and the spelling and the grammar were pretty rough at first. But they would say, "He knows so many words. I never knew he was so smart." Or one parent said, who had a 22-month-old, she said she always read books in his crib. And when he woke up in the morning, he could spend as much as half an hour looking at them. She said he's very careful. If he tears a page, he cries and he shows me. So the child already knew how important it was. So then we sought another sponsor. We felt that we needed a wider reach. And we affiliated with the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh, which has been a very happy association for us since 1985. We have a very good arrangement with them. We think mutually advantageous. And we have an office that they provide for us in the Homewood Branch Library. We now have developed 4 programs. The gift book program, which was the initial one, is still going on and reaches about 7,000 families a year.
How many?
7,000.
Oh, wow.
And that program has been replicated or adapted in other parts of the country and even in Fiji. We were fortunate to have, as a visitor a couple of years ago, a visitor for 3 months, a Fulbright scholar from the Fiji Islands, who had heard about Beginning with Books and came to watch what we did, and she's a professor at the University of South Pacific, and went back and established the project in a village where most of the families were Fijian, and the first language was Fijian. Then we've developed three other programs. One is the parent education program that in various ways reaches parents and supports them in reading to their young children. The Read Together program, which trains volunteers and matches them with children between the ages of 3 and 10. Children whose parents don't feel confident about reading to them at home. And many of the parents are getting tutoring or are engaged in some kind of education for themselves. And Project Beacon, which serves 1,200 children a year, 1,200 children in daycare homes and daycare centers in 5 neighborhoods of the city and in Wilkinsburg. And for that program, we got money to buy two mini bookmobiles that we call storymobiles that go to the daycare homes and centers with an outreach worker, and that also go to public housing communities in the city, and we'll start going to Wilkinsburg. Typically in Pittsburgh, and it may be true in other cities as well, the public housing communities are remote, especially for people who don't have cars. And they don't have easy access to the amenities that more fortunate people take for granted. And many of the parents remember a time when the library bookmobile came and how much they enjoyed it, but when money got short for the city, they cut that out.
The bookmobile
still goes to to county sites, but not within the city. So our storymobile, which is much smaller, bookmobile and has a smaller collection, still serves a purpose for children from babies up through middle school.
Are they able to take books out?
Yes.
Is that the idea? It's a lending library.
Right. All the books are paperbacks. We don't charge fines. We don't charge for damaged books.
And if they don't return, you don't charge.
No.
Oh, that's terrific.
The rate of return is much higher than we expected.
Is that right?
But parents who live on the margin are so afraid that they'll incur a cost that they can't meet.
Mm-hmm.
Anxious about going to the public library and taking out volunteers. Mm-hmm. Although we always encourage families to begin to use the public library when they can, and some of them do. So that's the program. We've grown from Betty sharing this full-time job and having a part-time person to our co-directors, although I've cut back, I'm now working 3 days a week and Betty's working harder than ever, and a staff of about 20
people now. It has really grown.
Yeah.
I just have a few questions.
Sure.
I'd like to learn. The parents are not particularly good readers.
Most of them
aren't. Okay.
Well, it depends.
Yeah.
Certainly in Read Together, they are not. The Read Together program, that's the one that matches volunteer readers.
Okay.
Many of them are not, and the books that they tend to buy for their children are mass market books that they find in the supermarkets and newsstands and such.
Mm-hmm.
And those books are designed for the widest audience. Mm-hmm. Our families are probably 80% African American.
Mm-hmm.
So many of them have not had books for their children that reflect their culture,
mm-hmm.
where their children can see themselves. And for many of the parents, this is a revelation. I'm very excited.
And they like it.
They enjoy it, too.
That's right. Enjoy
reading it together.
Right. And is it true that the thought occurs to me that as parents, we all want the best for our kids?
Absolutely.
And they want the best
they
for
They absolutely want. And if they're...
It's very touching.
Oh, it is.
It's so touching.
And if their lives have been marked by struggle, they so much want...
It not to happen to
happen.
Their kids.
Yeah. We've done some videotaping, and very early on we videotaped a Caucasian father in this case, and his son whom he was bringing to Read Together. And he said, I don't want him to grow up the way I had to grow up, because I don't think he could. He was so adamant that his son had a better opportunity.
Had a better chance.
That's right.
It's a marvelous thing. What have you learned any other things, Jim, that you
want
to share with us?
I've learned enormous respect for people who do live, as I said, on the margin.
It's very hard, and they're very courageous.
They don't know how to work the system. Like you say, to go to the public library is beyond them.
Right.
So, therefore, the things that are available to them, they don't know how to do. I always say, a kid that is raised in a poor household, whatnot. He was very bright, good student, oftentimes doesn't have scholarships because doesn't get to college because parents don't know anything about college. They don't know how to get a kid into college. They don't know if you're supposed to take PSATs before you even take SATs, right. And you take SATs.
Well, but the counselors in school
should. No, but no, sometimes the counselors are too busy or not good enough.
Mm-hmm. Or have...
The counselors at school aren't going to know that that kid is thinking about college if the kid doesn't have a parent. You know, if the kid doesn't know that he has the option.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Right. But in many cases, well, not many cases, maybe outstanding cases, I'm thinking of August Wilson, whose mother raised, I think, six children on her own. I think she was a day worker. And she used to get books somehow, buy them in Goodwill or wherever, and brought them home. And that household was filled with books, and he and his siblings grew up reading books. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what impelled his mother to do that. Mm-hmm. So there are people who are fortunate enough to have the energy and drive. But when I think about what our parents contend with, mm-hmm. I think getting up in the morning and getting their children off to school is
a major accomplishment.
Exactly.
I worked in a public school also.
Yes.
I know, in a public high school.
Yes.
I was not a teacher. I was a counselor for handicapped children. That was what I did.
In which school?
I was first at South High School.
Yes.
I didn't go to work till Mimsy was in college.
Yes.
And then I went to work. I was in South High School for 14 years. Then I was at Brashear High School, which
was a new one.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
And the biggest school in the world.
Yes.
And I wound up my last 4 years at Pioneer School for the Profoundly Handicapped.
Yes.
And I learned more than I ever taught anybody or did for anybody.
Yes.
Because I know how very hard it is. And I get very nervous about what they're doing. I'm very uneasy. I just feel terrible.
Yeah,
I really do, because I know how hard it is, and these kids have it very tough.
Another thing I think we've learned, well, maybe we knew it all along, is that the younger the child,
when you start,
right. the more opportunity there is to make
right.
a difference. And
right.
the babies we see in daycare.
Mm-hmm.
Are so responsive and love the story times.
If you have them in daycare, you have such an advantage over the child that is wallowing on the sofa at home, the television.
Well,
that's stimulation of a certain nature.
Which is often negative.
But anyway, they did prove that Head Start makes
a tremendous
difference.
Right.
Right. It does. I've been very admiring of what you've done
mm-hmm.
from, you know, just knowing about it. And I absolutely wanted to get it on tape because it's a marvelous thing that you're doing.
Well, we have like two more questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Which goes back to you. My question is, would you explain your collection of canes?
Canes was part of my inheritance from my father.
Because you look like you were walking well enough.
But he was given most of these by patients. He had a natural inclination to walk with a stick and just accumulated those that came his way. A few of them are of some historic interest, but most of them are just sticks.
Anything else? Last is always the question. What would you
wait,
have done
one yet? Other thing.
Okay.
The emphasis from council is how do you live as Jewish people?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about your parents and your childhood, but how about you two and your children? How would you describe your Jewish home?
Well, I think that again, to emphasize religiosity to a great extent. In fact, I might note that the events of recent history in Europe and elsewhere produced in my own mind a great deal of uncertainty about the significance of religious belief. I don't think there are many Jews who haven't asked themselves if the system really worked. Why did 6 million people burn? And you wonder, what is the meaning of conventional observance? Well, I this is something, I guess, that everybody has to answer for themselves. I've always felt that one of the important functions of formal religion is the links which it establishes or confirms with your past and serve to bind you more effectively to a particular tradition, a particular group. Like those people, as I do, it's a pleasure. So this is one of the ways in which you declare your membership in this organization. Avail yourself of whatever pleasures derive from the picture that the world picture, I guess, that you acquire through some formal religious observance.
Well, we're members of a Reformed congregation,
right?
And so our family practices are formed by that particular view.
So you're not terribly observant, or you're not observant in the term of being
orthodox.
You're not.
You're not observant
in an orthodox or even conservative
no.
way.
That's right.
Okay. Was Aaron Bar Mitzvah?
Yes,
he was. How about the girls?
The girls were not.
I
don't think it had, when Betsy came along,
I don't think it was doing bat mitzvah.
And Susan chose not to do it, but Susan was bat mitzvah this past year.
Was she?
At the age of 37.
Was she really?
Having studied for a year and a half. And it was very important to her and to us, and a very significant and meaningful moment.
Interesting. Why didn't Greg show him? Discovered that was a big mistake. I mean, I went to Rittershall. I can't read a word of Hebrew. I don't have the desire that Susan had, but I think it's a disgrace.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I wish I had done it.
Right.
It's too late now. I don't have that that capacity.
Well, I think we understand that many of us who belong to Temple live in just the same way.
Have a loss because of it.
Have a loss because of what?
because of the education that we got there, the lack of the Hebrew and whatnot.
Right, I regret
that. And as you have friends that are that went to more religious congregations, mm-hmm. you realize that maybe you're not quite Jewish. I mean, your Jewishness is really homogenized.
You sound like that rabbi in Israel that says we're
something, but we're not Jewish. Well, right. You're aware of how different the service. No, because I have one more question.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
We've got to do the question. What would he have done different?
Oh, you mean in his whole life?
If you had any... Yeah, okay, we'll state the question.
Well, I'll give you the question.
I didn't this is the final question.
What I heard was that I didn't think it was going to change very much.
Well, no, in his life. Okay. In his life.
Okay. Well, if you had anything, if you could change anything that you've done, is there anything you would have chosen to do that you didn't do or couldn't do?
No, we've got time. But
it's obviously a complicated issue. I've often wished, going back to another period, that I had a more conventional interval in school, including college. I remember at a certain age I looked forward to working as a sailor on a ship, a slow ship, going around the world.
Oh.
I thought that was the most romantic thing on earth. And later, I spent the period from leaving Taylor Alderdice High School to becoming a member of the faculty of Carnegie Mellon University without a vacation.
Oh, okay.
And, I wondered, should I feel deprived?
Maybe.
Maybe, because certainly it didn't develop as I had hoped at one point. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I felt that other things had filled in converted it into a happy experience.
Good.
Yeah, I have tended to be optimistic even when circumstances didn't justify it.
That's a wonderful quality to get through life, to be an optimist. That's very good. You're lucky.